A Billboard Evangelism Phone Dialogue. Did you ever wonder what a phone team member encounters when he answers a phone call from a billboard caller? What kind of questions do people ask? What you are about to hear is an actual call conversation between a CAM phone team member and a billboard caller who dialed the toll-free number posted on every gospel billboard. Minor editing was done to remove all personal caller information and enhance the flow of the conversation for the listener. Keep in mind that this is only one call and not a complete representation of the team member's interaction with callers. You will probably think of other ways the team member could have responded, and in reality, he probably did too. Often after hanging up with a caller, a team member will think of things he wished he would have said. But we thank God and give Him the glory for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit in giving the right words and scripture verses to our phone team day after day as they minister to many callers. They really need your prayers.
Good afternoon. This is Roger with Gospel Billboards. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Yourself?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you for asking. I guess you saw one of our billboards somewhere. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I see them around here and there, but I kind of like, oh, these guys might explanation. I have, some good friends that are pretty strong atheists, if you will.
And, okay, sure.
I talk to them frequently, and they're extremely intelligent, with everything that I've probably, if we're talking about anything from, how a star is made to how it stays inconsistency, how, anything that revolves around law, science, motion, they have it down to a T. And if I break it down and look it up, everything is almost better described on their behalf than it is through a Google search engine. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So with that said, they, like one of my friends, he really just feels bad to all the people that believe, and it's not just Christianity, but, any religion, I guess, because his claim is more of, humans are, a weaker species, if you will. We can't grasp death. I'm kind of speaking through his words. We can't grasp death and the fact of never saying goodbye forever. So we've created an adult Santa Claus, if you will, to believe that there's something more after we die. But in reality, it's no different than stepping on an ant and, lights out. So no matter, what text, I would throw back or try to, debate, it's almost as though it's the only thing I can, I'm kind of looking for is actual, what would you call it, maybe divine evidence. Because, when I break down the Bible, my one friend, he's like, just understand, Constantine was in power at that time. How he can name all the books that were written and only the certain few that were actually placed in the Bible and the reasons why and the actual duration during the time that the Bible was being put together and the rationale behind it and what Constantine was going through. It's unbelievable, the actual detail. And it's it's very, if you break it down, that's exactly what was going on. So, you know, it's one of those scenarios that I don't know what divine evidence that I can kind of come back and say, well, no, you know, there is a God, and this is how we can prove it. And so, you know, and I followed other, you know, people of faith and ministry that have lost their faith and just said, you know, I just don't believe anymore, and, you know, live a different life. And, you know, then there's people that, you know, same token, that left Christianity and just realized that, hey, just being a good person, you don't, you know, using religion isn't, is just, you know, so you see all this credible defense that life is here, we're a bonus, we, you know, live in a perfect climate, that if you look at the size of the universe and how big it is, well, obviously, if over time and size and everything else, we're going to run into, you know, the right solar system to sustain life. And so, you know, it's all a bonus that we're here right now. But once we die, that's it. There is nothing after death. You know? So what's your take on, probably, you know, without going too elementary, something more of a higher intellect of a argument to defend it, that there actually is?
I'd be happy to talk about that. You mentioned something I'm curious about. You mentioned you have some friends that call themselves atheists. Do you mind if I ask what's your belief? Would you call yourself an atheist? Would you call yourself a believer? What would your own position be?
I'm a believer, but I'm a believer that has, I guess, higher expectations. I'm kind of, if you want to compare me to anybody, I'm a doubting Thomas in the Bible.
Got it. Okay. And you're doubting, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Seeing is believing more to me. I have a fairly strong medical education. And so not that I'm currently in that right now, but I understand a lot of dynamics, you know, in just different things and understanding why something works and, you know, different things of that nature. So I've been a believer because of what I grew to know. And, you know, as a child growing up, I went to church and things of that nature. But I always think that's irrelevant because, you know, back in the day, most people went to church because their parents forced them. So as I get older, though, and more things become, what would you say, available to find out, and you start to figure out, wow, there's different things that we can't see behind the lines that explain certain things that we basically thought before that was God. But really, it's this instead, you know? That's what my friend is more based on, and he's kind of twisting my mind a little bit. But the big thing with me, going back to a believer, is I believe because I just feel there's more evidence to believe than not to believe. But I also wish I could, you know, get more understanding, you know, of God all power. As a lot of people always say this, you know, if we beg, you know, for a conversation, why did he come down in our bedside at night and spend, you know, 2 minutes with us and actually have a dialogue? Why is that such a off limits? You know, why is that such a detachment? Why leave us hanging in all this? Yeah, I know it's sin, but that's irrelevant. Why not? If we ask for something, you know, in the Bible, people ask for things and, you know, it says, ask and you shall receive. Well, you know, that millions and millions of people ask it every day and nothing happens. And so I just kind of sometimes when I hear my friend, what if he is right? You know, and I've talked to a lot of people about that. A lot of people that are very strong Christians, and they're like, well, you know, there's always that chance that there is no God, you know, but I'm hoping there is. So I'm finding out a lot of people just hope that there is. It's this hope rather than the faith, because we all have blinded faith. You don't see God every year. You don't get to see him and have him come into your house and sit down at the kitchen table in a spiritual mirage of an image, you know? And if God all power, if he created everything we see, all the organisms, all the systems in place, all the laws, everything, why can't he just come down and have dinner with you tonight? Right? Why? You know, those are the things, you know, that I understand a lot of other things, but just when you're crying out, and I know a lot of people that, you know, I brought up and said, oh, you know, they were on their deathbed and they cried out and Jesus came and saved them or whatever else. But like my friend said, it was just the odds. He goes, you could have, you know, a million people on an operating table with all, you know, a 0% chance of survival. But I guarantee you, there'll be a few that survive. It's just common statistics. I'm like, yeah, I suppose you're right, you know. So he said, so those people, a few people that survive, aren't acknowledging the fact that it's just common statistics that you actually were just a lucky one. And God never really had any intervention in it. Because if God had any intervention in that, then why can't he sit down at the kitchen table and have a conversation with you? Why the detachment? Outside of sin, obviously. But why the power is there if he created everything and had everything at his fingertips, why leave us hanging in such a gap of, you know, I don't even know what the word would be, you know, hope, you know, of everything. And a lot of that's a fear factor, you know, like my friends have said, you know, you're afraid. That's why you turn to religion. You're afraid. You're hoping that there is something, you know, on the other side after you take your last breath.
Can he rise from the dead, you think, or not? Could he just come back to life from the dead, or would he admit he probably wouldn't be able to do that?
Well, like he said, we've talked about that. He's like, honestly, if you had all the witnesses and everything else today, somebody rising from the dead, literally was dead, you would have a complete change, and everybody would be in awe that was physically there. So why, oh why, did you have the entire, all the Pharisees, everybody else, still didn't believe? You had more
so that was,
that didn't
That was another way of saying no, I think. Is that right?
Yeah. See, if you had on that event, on the resurrection, you had more people, massively more people that witnessed the resurrection, but very few people actually believed it, other than the apostles.
Well, within about a week, let's see, about 50 days, there was 3,000. A few days later, there was another 5,000. And these were people who were threatened with persecution if they did believe, and yet, because of the evidence, they chose to believe anyway, or maybe they were forced to believe because the evidence was so overwhelming. But either way, they did believe. So here's another question. So I think I asked the question, can your friend rise from the dead? You basically said, no, he can't. Here's
right.
another question for you. Can he give an explanation for why atoms exist? Now, atoms are the building blocks of everything. Obviously, you can break it down even smaller than that. But if there were no atoms, you and I would not exist. The universe would not, the Earth wouldn't exist. None of the stars would exist. What does he think? Can he explain how the atoms went from non-existence to existence? Does he have an explanation for that, all the atoms in the universe?
His explanation is it's always been there.
It's always been. So the eternal state, the steady state, okay, which most scientists would have rejected that. By now, because of the overwhelming evidence that there has been a beginning, but I understand that position. It would beg the question then: why is it that if the universe has an infinite age, and if what we observe, that entropy has always been progressing forward, has always been increasing, order to disorder, how can the universe have an infinite age without there being infinite entropy or infinite disorder? In other words, just take one aspect of order, heat. Heat will tend to smooth out over time. If you take a boiling pot of water and set it in a room, eventually it'll get to be the room will get a little bit warmer and the water will get a little bit cooler. It'll all even out. Now, the universe is doing the same thing. We've got heat all over. Parts of the universe are hot, but they're cooling. Others are cold, but they're warming. In time, everything is going to smooth out. All right. If it keeps going the way it's going, that's just the way things go. If the universe has an infinite age, why is there still not an infinite, why has all the heat not dissipated to one constant temperature throughout the universe? It's working that direction, slowly, but there's problems with subscribing to an infinite age of the universe. But let's say that, let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say he's right. Atoms always have existed. There never was a time that atoms did not exist. They are eternal. They are infinite. They are forever. Atoms are the most wonderful thing in the world if truly they are infinite. That's almost a religious statement if you think about it, that atoms have never begun to exist. They always existed. That's quite a statement, but
sure.
Think about it. All right, next question for your friend is, if atoms have always existed, or let's just say for some reason they do exist, we know they do exist, does he have an explanation for how those atoms, or why those atoms, maybe, would be a better question, got together and organized themselves into a living cell one time? What would have ever motivated them to do that? Is there any law in the universe? We know the law of gravity exists. We know the law of inertia exists, and we know many other laws exist. But has there ever been a law discovered that would explain why atoms
would get together and organize themselves into a living cell that is more complex and works better than, say, the entire infrastructure of New York City, in a miniature scale, nonetheless. Does he have an explanation for how that happened?
See,
how life did not exist and then
usually,
it did exist?
Yeah, and that's usually where our conversation kind of hit the dead end street. Because with me, I'm more on, again, with just some medicine and background, and I always would say, you know, well, what came first, the blood or the heart, right? They both have to simultaneously have each other in existence. You can't just have a heart sit there with no blood, and you can't have some blood just sit there with no heart. Something's got, you know... And so, it same thing, you know, oxygen and carbon dioxide have to be in the same scenario at the exact same time and with an exchange of gas in order for any living being to exist simultaneously.
Yep.
You know, and so you, I mean, I look at that, and that's what I've always based a lot of things off. And so, but you make a good point with atoms, because the same thing with atoms is, A, even if they always existed, you know, it comes back to the same argument. Well, then it's almost like, you know, same thing with God. God obviously is internal or eternal, but, you know, same question, who created God, you know, which... You know,
which is a good question if God had a beginning. Anytime something has a beginning, it's a good question. How did it get there? What is the cause of that event, the beginning of said thing? Why did they begin to exist, or how did they begin to exist? What was the cause of them beginning to exist? That's a very good question if they began to exist. And if God began to exist, then it would be a good question, where did God come from? How did God get there? What was the cause of God? Now, if God did not begin to exist, then that's kind of an irrelevant question, because the law of cause and effect only applies to things that do. Well, the law of cause and effect only applies to things that did begin to exist. It's a law we observe all around us. Anytime we see a chicken, we say, it came from an egg. Or if we see an egg, it came from a chicken. Eggs begin to exist. Chickens begin to exist. Now, if we were to encounter something that never did begin to exist, then it wouldn't even be the question would be meaningless. It'd be pointless, because all the law of cause and effect that we were subscribing to with the chicken and egg scenario, it doesn't apply to things with no beginning. It only applies to things with a beginning. So when there is a beginning, there must be a cause. When there's not a beginning, there doesn't need to be a cause. That's not a question we even need to bother asking at that point. So, if God would claim to have a beginning, then it would be a very good question. Well, what caused God to begin to exist? Now, your friend, he came up with a way around that by saying, well, it was the atoms that never begin to exist. Therefore, they don't need a cause. We don't need to explain it. They just never did. Okay, well, they've got some other things to explain then, and one of them is, you know, the existence of life. How did those atoms, if they did never have a beginning, whatever motivated them to say, hey, let's build ourselves a little city here and call it a living cell, and everything's going to work absolutely perfectly in order for this living cell to work, and not only work, but be able to self-replicate and everything else that living cells do. Those are some major questions your friend needs to ask if he wants to consider himself to have a credible theory. He might say, well, no, I don't have any theory. You guys are the ones that have a theory, therefore the burden of proof is on you. But no, he actually does have a theory. He's got a theory that says this universe as we see it can exist without a creator. In other words, he's saying either everything created or nothing created everything, or somehow the universe created itself, Or, you know, maybe he's saying, oh, the universe never had a beginning, and all of those have real problems in science, therefore you got to go back to faith. He doesn't call it faith, but he's got faith in something. All right, so the question then comes, though, if instead of being an atheist, a diehard atheist, he would back off just slightly and call himself an agnostic, which many of them do, and honestly, it's probably the only way to be to really be honest about the situation. So, well, okay, finally, I guess I don't know where the atoms came from. I don't know where matter and energy came from. I don't know where the first living cell came from. I don't know why it happened. I just don't know.
Yeah.
And he'll a lot of times turn that around and say, and you don't know either, talking to believers. Okay,
yeah.
Well, the important thing is you've admitted you don't know. We'll talk about us in a minute, but for now you've admitted you don't know. You don't know where atoms came from. You don't know where living cells came from. And so the question then comes like this. If you are admitting you don't know, which being honest is a respectful thing to do, by the way, if you really don't know, go ahead and say you don't know. That's not a bad thing if that's where you're at.
Yeah.
So he's admitted, if he's honest, he doesn't know where matter and energy came from. He doesn't know where a living cell came from. So the question comes then. If someone showed up and said that he does know the answer to those questions, in fact, he says, I was there when atoms begin to exist, and I was there when living cells begin to exist. And you look at this guy and say, you're crazy, buddy. You weren't around when these things began. He says, yes, I was, and I can prove it. Really? Prove it? Can you give us evidence to prove it? Yeah. What's your evidence, sir? He says, here's my evidence. He says, when I'm done telling you these things that you need to know, not only where did atoms come from and the living cell come from and, you know, how what your purpose for existence is and what's going to happen to you when you die and all those important things, after I tell you all of those things, I'm going to let you or my enemies or some thugs you can hire kill me. 3 days later, I'm going to rise again from the dead. And when I rise from the dead, that will be my proof that I have the authority and the knowledge and the power to tell you the answers to the very things you admitted you didn't know. Of course, we'd look at such a character and say, he's crazy. I mean, nobody can rise from the dead. No scientist, no college professor, no friend, you know, no matter how much he lifts weights and eats right and trains, he can't even keep himself from dying, much less rise from the dead once he is dead. Nobody can do that. So, you know, this guy must be crazy. But suppose we'd put him to the test and he really would do it. Suppose we would hire some thugs to kill him and make sure he's dead and even hire some policemen to stand around the grave to try to keep him dead. But even that, it didn't work. He somehow escaped from our clutches and came out of that grave and showed himself alive to not just dozens but hundreds of people. If that were to happen, my question is, to you and to your friend, would you be willing to listen to this guy about the answers to the things you've admitted you don't know? You don't know where matter came from. You don't know where life came from. Would you let this guy tell you where life came from? Would you let him tell
you
where matter came from?
At that point, there is no doubt, literally, you would live your life and die for him, without a doubt, 100%. And that's why, to me, if you look at the Bible, New Testament, all the apostles, one of them had to die that terrible death, right? And they weren't afraid. They were not afraid.
You say the apostles were not afraid. Correct, because they had seen somebody face death and conquer death, so why be afraid? Exactly.
Yep, and they knew where they're going. So now my friend, you know, has mentioned, you know, that the Bible is just a storyline to create order, if you will, to create and hold that power. And so for all, like, the prophecies to come true and everything, like he's talking about, that was all just hogwash. Like, it never really happened. It just written down thousands of years ago, and it really didn't happen. Yeah, because of the government of Constantine and different things that were going on, they pushed this out because they knew that they couldn't conquer the movement that was starting, and so can't beat them, join them. So, again, I don't, you know, that's a whole nother conversation, but to me, like he always says, you know, all the prophecies that are in the New Testament that were said in the Old Testament, he says when it's chronological like that, how easily could you just write the book and make up all this stuff and just say, oh yeah, this prophecy happened, and start writing them all down, and you're going to create all this power. And so, well, you know, let's say like Jesus walking on water, Jesus, you know, feeding the 5,000, Jesus resurrecting from the dead, Jesus coming, you know, as a savior. And they created all, Constantine created all this, right?
According to your friend.
Yeah. Like it never really happened. He created it to get those masses under control and order and, you know, obviously obtain power as the Roman Catholic Church started evolving, you know, into that power that it is, you know, today. You know, and I'm like, he's like, you know, you're not there. How do you know it really happened? And you kind of go off of, well, yeah, you know, it's not like they had video cameras back then, and they had, you know, it was just written down on some scrolls, and, you know, he's like, yeah, there's a lot of things written down back then. So, I look at it as evidence, but, you know, based on the manuscripts and things like that. But again, like he says, it's all, you know, again, everybody says, oh yeah, well, look at all the prophecies that fulfilled. How do you know they were filled? How do you know that was just some guy that says, oh, okay, we got to make Jesus do this now to fulfill that prophecy? Because if we don't, then people are going to start going, oh, hey, the Bible, there's a conflict in the Bible.
You can muddy the water and try to keep from having to face the real questions by, you know, raising all these other questions. Well, how do you know this and how do you know that? But remember, we started out this problem by your atheist friend admitting, now it was hypothetical, he's not on this phone call, but essentially admitting, I don't know where life came from. I don't know where matter and energy come from. The big questions of life, I cannot explain in a naturalistic universe. Naturalistic meaning nature is all there is, which your friend obviously believes. Nature is the only thing that exists. That's not science, by the way. They try to invoke science, but it really doesn't have anything much to do with science at all. It's a belief system. It's a philosophy. The idea that nature is all there is. But again, that philosophy has been debunked by the law of cause and effect. Anything that begins to exist has a cause. Any cause has to come from outside the thing itself. And so if nature had a beginning, then nature had a cause, and the cause had to come from outside of nature, i.e. supernatural. And so the supernatural has to exist based on what we observe in science. So if he wants to be loyal to science, then go ahead, be loyal to science. Be loyal to the law of cause and effect because it's been proven over and over again. Now, that doesn't necessarily tell you who created this world until you examine the evidence for the resurrection. And I know there's fulfilled prophecies, and I believe in the fulfilled prophecies, but, you know, if your friend or you or anybody who's questioning these things wants to really get to the heart of the matter, I would urge you to just concentrate on one thing, only one. Did the resurrection really happen? That's the most important thing right there. If it did not, I'll be the first to admit Christianity is not true. It's a hoax. It's probably the biggest hoax that's ever been foisted on humanity from the beginning of creation. But if the resurrection did happen, then we can know that the message of Jesus is the most true message that was ever given to humanity. So everything hinges on that. It's very simple, and it's a yes and no question. It either happened or it didn't happen.
Wouldn't you think that the Jewish religion, if you will, would have just completely folded at that time, because they would have realized that, I don't want to say their belief was a hoax, but when they actually...
The Jewish religion? No, it wasn't a hoax, though. Jesus affirmed the Jews' religion. He explained that it was true.
Yep, so why didn't they all become followers?
Well, there's, I don't know if you read what Jesus said. I mean, Jesus said some very inflammatory things and what this is going to cost. He says, yes, it's going to be true, and I will prove it by my own resurrection from the dead. But for you to embrace this truth is going to require you to take up a cross and follow me. Whoa. This is a very, very expensive endeavor. You know, it's like saying, hey, some billionaire comes along and says, you know, I'm going to give you $1 billion if you follow me. Well, where are we going? Well, you're going to follow me to the top of Mount Everest, without any food or, food or drink the whole way up there. He said, I don't know if I can do that. This is going to be extremely painful. And you're going to, have, medical ailments and pain and everything. Oh, I don't know if I can do this. But there's no doubt that he's a billionaire. He can pull out his bank account and show you, here's this pile of gold. And, he proves, no question, that he is who he says he is. The question is my willingness to follow him. So when Jesus said, deny yourself, well, now there's where the rub comes. It's not that Jesus didn't have enough evidence. The evidence was overwhelming. I mean, nobody else in history could, claim to be able to rise from the dead and then come through on it. Only Jesus could do that. So it's a no-brainer as far as what is truth. But, he was asking the Jewish people to deny their own, give up their own power and follow him. He was asking them to, give up their place, whatever good favor they had with the Romans. Probably going to live shortened lives. This is a very plus a lot of your friends aren't going to follow you. If you yourself decide to deny yourself, a lot of your friends will not. So there's lots of good reasons for the Jews to say no thank you. Not evidence-based reasons, just simple existential reasons.
And you know how it is. Every family is going to follow that family. So if the Johnsons and the Smiths and the whoever are like, nope, we're sticking with our Jewish faith. This is what we grew up on, and we're not going to give everything up to follow this prophet named Jesus. And so then their kids don't follow, and so on down the line, right? So,
exactly.
No, hey,
I
have to unfortunately let you go, but I know this is all good. Good stuff. It's one of those things where I enjoy conversations like this. So I appreciate the time over the phone and I don't know if you're always available at this number, but it'd be nice to kind of talk a little bit more if I had time another day or something. So
yeah, feel free to give us a call.
How many guys do you have answering your telephone?
Oh, let's see. I just got a brochure. Let's say 25 or so, something like that. A variety of people. But you can call and you can try calling this time of the day. That's going to be your best bet to catch me. But you can definitely catch others as well. Talk to them about the things we've talked about and the reason, because we'd love to see you in heaven someday. So I would just urge you to seek the Lord with all your heart and don't be swayed by people who don't know anything, don't know where they're going, they don't know where the universe came from, they don't know where life came from. So correct. If they start telling you they're smarter than you, you might think twice about believing them. Because the Bible says, it's a foolish person who says there is no God. There's just no way to really be wise and claim, look around you at the universe and say, aha, nobody created it. It created itself. And that's not smart, no matter how smart the people who say that might seem.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, all right. Well, thanks, Rob, for your time over the phone and everything else. And I'll give you guys a call back when I got some more time too. It's
okay.
It's I appreciate the time that you did give me tonight, though.
You're very welcome. Well, thank you, and you have a good evening. Oh, check out our website if you get a chance too. GospelBillboards.org. A lot of resources there to help you get right with God.
Oh, okay. Right? Okay. All right. I will. Thank you
all
very
right.
much.
Yep.
Okay, God bless.
Well, you have a good evening.
You too. Bye bye.
Would you like to be involved in the Billboard Evangelism Program? Here are several ways. Please pray for our dedicated phone team who speaks with thousands of spiritually hungry Americans over the phone. Sign up to receive an urgent prayer alert on your phone and a weekly email containing several prayer requests concerning callers' spiritual needs. To listen to recorded prayer requests, call 330-800-9203 anytime. The door of opportunity to present Jesus and His Word on billboards is wide open. CAM has established excellent connections with our nation's largest billboard companies, enabling us to obtain significant discounts. $1 presents a gospel message over 1,000 times. If you wish to impact Americans with a gospel message, your help will be greatly appreciated. The Adopt a Billboard Sponsorship Program is a personalized way to sponsor a billboard. Call the CAM office and request an Adopt a Billboard sponsorship sheet to choose which billboard you would like to sponsor. If you would like to stay updated on the Billboard Evangelism Program and learn more about the effect these gospel billboards are having on America, sign up to receive Billboard Evangelism's free quarterly newsletter. To sign up for any of the prayer options and quarterly newsletter, or to make a contribution, please call 330-893-2428 or visit our website at ChristianAidMinistries.org.